Now, these verses here, 13 and 14, as he talks about his old life, and then 15 and 16, as he talks about this revelation, there's another passage in the New Testament that is also important in order to understand and see this connection. And so let's flip to the Acts of the Apostles. And we'll read the moment of St. Paul's conversion, because there he really just speaks of his conversion in an oblique way in just a few verses. But as we turn to Acts chapter 9, this would give us a chance to look at a little more detailed account of his conversion, about the way in which he came to believe in Christ. So Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Now Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, that if he should find any men or women belonging to the way, he might bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. And on his journey, he was nearing Damascus. This reference to Damascus is going to come up a couple times. We'll see that in Galatians. But there we see the background, that St. Paul was not only a adherent to Judaism, that he faithfully practiced the law, but he was actively trying to persecute Christ. And there, Acts 9, verse 3, then the light from the sky suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what to do." And so there is that moment of revelation. It's this point at which the light flashes around St. Paul. It's that moment at which he hears the voice of Jesus, and as Jesus tells him that what you are doing is you are persecuting me. So it's this moment at which Jesus Christ makes himself known to him. And then as he then goes into the city being blind, and then we hear about this disciple, this Ananias, he's called, verse 11, called by God and told to go seek after this Saul of Tarsus, that he would help him regain his sight. And when Ananias questions this, he says, "This is someone who's trying to destroy the Christians." Then the Lord responds to Ananias, verse 15. He says, "Go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites, and I will show him what he will have to suffer for my name." And then Ananias goes and prays over Saul, and he receives his sight back, and then he is baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so for St. Paul, this is a moment of revelation, a moment at which he encounters Jesus Christ, a moment at which he realizes that everything that he has been doing, which he thought he was doing to serve God and to serve the law, has actually been in vain, because he's really been counterproductive. He's been destroying, working to destroy something that is the work of God. And all of a sudden, God, in his mercy, has turned him around and shown him the truth and revealed himself to him. And not only that, not only has he revealed to St. Paul just how wrong he has been, how sinful he has been, but then this unworthy person, this person who has tried to persecute the church, God in his grace has called him then to the special ministry in the church, and now he is to be an apostle and a representative. For St. Paul, this is an amazing turnaround. And this is something that I think St. Paul thought deeply about. This is a moment in his life, and it's something that was a life-changing moment, but not just for the moment in which it happened. It was something that he would continue to think about, something he would reflect on, something that the entire significance of that experience, the meaning of that moment, is not clear all in one moment. It's something that has to be pondered and considered. And this was something that St. Paul did. And so as we go back to Galatians 1, we see this moment then at which this name has been revealed to St. Paul, that he would proclaim Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, that St. Paul would come to understand how much he would have to suffer for the sake of the name. And so then Galatians 1, verse 16, he says, "I did not immediately consult flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Rather, I went into Arabia and then returned to Damascus." We're back to Damascus here. And so this is all part of Paul reflecting on this experience, on this revelation on this grace that has been given to him. He makes this, he emphasizes that he did not go to Jerusalem because he wants to affirm the grace that he has received and that it is of divine origin, not human origin. So the important point is not that he goes to Jerusalem to get a confirmation of this gift. The gift comes from God, so it is true because God has revealed it. It is not, for St. Paul, it's not dependent upon any authorization or any confirmation or any approval that would come from Jerusalem. So that's why he makes that that point very clear. So then verse 18, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to confer with Cephas, and Cephas would be just the Greek version of Peter. Peter is the Latin root and Cephas is the Greek root. So Cephas, this would be Simon Peter, to confer with Simon Peter, and remained with him for 15 days. I did not see any of the other apostles, only James, the brother of the Lord. And as to what I am writing to you, verse 20, behold, before God, I am not lying. So he does make a brief visit then to the to see two of the apostles there in Jerusalem. And then after that, he went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, verse 22, and I was unknown personally to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. Verse 23, they only kept hearing that the one who was once persecuting us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, so they glorified God because of me. For St. Paul, this is an important point, is that what all that they knew about him, they didn't have any letters from the apostles in Jerusalem recommending this this person. Instead, they had only heard one thing. They had only heard that the person who was trying to destroy the church is now someone who is preaching for the church. And for St. Paul, this actually is part of the sign of the authenticity of his call. In other words, if this were merely a human activity, if this were not of God, one could not imagine this kind of a transformation or this sort of a change. For St. Paul, this is an amazing change. This is the witness of the grace of God, is that someone as steeped in the law and as turned against Christ as Saul could in fact be converted by God and become a preacher of Jesus Christ. So this itself is actually a sign of God's divine intervention, a sign of his grace penetrating into St. Paul's life. And did they marvel and praise St. Paul? That's not what he says. Verse 24 says they glorified God, and that's exactly as St. Paul would want that. So that they praised and they glorified God because of this great work that had been done. Okay, so now we have the account in Galatians 1 of St. Paul's conversion, and we see that as a grace of God, as a pure gift from God given to St. Paul, even though he did not deserve that, and yet St. Paul chosen as this instrument, St. Paul chosen as this person then to preach this gospel.